Psalm 104 has been called the anthem or praise for the creation of the Lord. The creation of God displays the majesty and greatness of God. The evidence of God's greatness are displayed every day by God's creation. There'll come a day when everything on earth and everyone will praise and honor God at the level that he deserves. And verse 1 informs us that we should bless the Lord and affectionately praise the Lord from our soul, because he's a great God and a majestic God. God may be invisible, but his sovereign power is seen everywhere. Man looks at the point that no man has any excuse for not believing in God. We see that in Romans 1:20. But look, verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty." There's no greater use of our rational mind and no holier action to be involved in that of praising and worshiping God for his sovereign greatness. People who are right with God praise God and worship God for his great glory, a glory that is seen in God's creation. Creation is a tremendous display of the greatness of God. That's what the psalm teaches. As long as we live on this earth, those who are right with God should praise God for his majestic and glorious work in creation. God's creative work displays his majesty. What people don't realize is that when people support a Big Bang or evolution theory, they're actually demeaning the God who actually created the things about which they're inventing lies. We who know the Lord should speak up for God and his glory. We should defend his majesty and his greatness. God is clothed with splendor and majesty, and his creation displays that. As weird as we can determine, there's a bunch of realities that display the glory and majesty of God. First of all, the light displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. Verse 2 says, "Covering yourself with light as with a garment." God spoke light into existence on the first day of creation, Genesis 1:3. But then the heaven displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God, stretching out the heavens like a tent. And God stretched out heaven on the second day of creation. God did this as easy as you and I would stretch out a tent on the ground. And then the waters which came from heaven display the sovereign glory and majesty of God. Verse 3, "He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters." Thunderous rain that we experience comes from the water vaults of God. And then the clouds display the sovereign glory and majesty of God. Verse 3 goes on and says, "He makes the clouds his chariot." The thing God has created to hold the water is the clouds. They hold the water like a bathtub until God opens the drain. Then the wind displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds. Tornadoes and hurricanes are not flukes of Mother Nature. They're statements about God. He sends the winds where he wants, and they accomplish what he wants. And then the fire displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. His ministers, a flaming fire. Even this day, there are fires that are man-made, and then there are fires that are God-made. Lightning bolts display the great glory and power of God. And then the earth displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. He set the earth on its foundations so it should never be moved. He says this in verse 5. Back in the days of Spurgeon, a scientist by the name of Laplace proved through mathematical equation demonstrates that the earth was not varied 1/100th of a second in the last 2,000 years. The deep water displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. There are geographical indications that at one point water covered the entire earth, including the mountains. The thunder displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. Verse 7, "At your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder they took to flight." Thunder is God's, and thunder displays the power of God. Notice, God speaks thunder and the water fled. God has power to speak things in and out of existence. And then the mountains display the sovereign glory and majesty of God. The mountains rose, verse 8. The valley sank down. So when the text says the mountains rose, two possibilities. As the mountain rose and the valleys were being formed, as the water level drained, the mountains were seen and the valleys formed, and the valleys display the sovereign glory and majesty of God. He says, "To a place where that you appointed for them." The design of every valley and the way water flows in it all displays the glory of God. And then the shoreline boundaries display the sovereign glory. majesty of God. You set a boundary, verse 9, that may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. It's actually an amazing thing to consider. Do you know that God uses a boundary for the oceans? God uses a slope and a narrow band of sand. Now, who can figure that out? And then the springs that put water in the valleys between mountains display the sovereign glory and majesty of God. Verse 10, you make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. For those who have spent time in the mountains and the canyons and the valleys know there are springs of water that are so clean you can drink from them. Those springs run through some valley channel to the point that they can become a major river. It's the creative power of God. And the beasts of the field which drink water display the sovereign glory and majesty of God. Verse 11, they give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. They're wild beasts and animals that live in the earth, and God created them and provided for them. And the birds that fly in the heavens and nest in the trees display the sovereign glory and majesty of God. Verse 12, beside them the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. John Wesley used to say the first song of Thanksgiving was the music of the birds before man was ever formed. And the high mountain rains display the sovereign glory and majesty of God. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. Oftentimes people complain about the rain. Usually you'll hear, we've had enough. Well, how do you know? Who of us is in a position to know we've had enough? Perhaps some places an animal needed more moisture. Truth is, God controls the rain. He knows what he's doing. And the earth provisions display the sovereign glory and majesty of God. The earth is satisfied, verse 13, with the fruit of your work. I doubt we even begin to know all that God supplies for this earth. The earth is satisfied with all God provides because it is still here and it still operates. The grass for cattle displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. Verse 14, you cause the grass to grow for the livestock. He causes it to grow for the cattle, and all they have to do is eat it. They don't have to do one thing except eat it. And the vegetation growth for man displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. He goes on, he says, and plants for man to cultivate that he may bring forth food from the earth. God originally gave man a job, which was to work the ground. Every time any eat food that comes from the ground, they're actually eating something that displays the glory of God. And the drinks available to man displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. Verse 15, and wine to gladden the heart of man. There were three main agricultural products in Palestine, wine, oil, and grain, which produced food. The wine, the oil were things that had the gladdening effect, and God had designed them. And then the oil that helps man in many ways displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. It says, oil to make his face shine. God gives things that make life better. And then the food that displays, that strengthens man, displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. He says, and bread to strengthen man's heart. God only gives physical food that sustains life, but he also gives spiritual food that sustains life. And the trees that grow and provide housing displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. The trees of the Lord, verse 16, are watered abundantly. The cedars of Lebanon that he planted, in them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. Cedars of Lebanon truly did display the greatness of God. Look at a mountain range and you see trees clear up on top. Ask yourself this question. How did those trees get up there? The answer is God. God made majestic trees that display his glory. And then the high mountains and cliffs have purposes that display the sovereign glory and majesty of God. Verse 18, the high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. God has designed places that are treacherous for humans, but home for animals. Wild goats, very cunning groundhog that is able to live in remote areas, bury itself in the ground. And then the moon displays the sovereign glory of majesty of God. Verse 19, he made the moon to mark the seasons. God made the moon and it does what he wants to do every day and every season. And then the sun displays the sovereign majesty and glory of God. He goes on, the sun knows its time for setting. God is the one who designed the sun and ordered the sun to set in the west. And the darkness displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. You make darkness, verse 20, and it's night, and all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. Go to sleep at night, but the animal world, especially the predator animal, comes to life at night. God provides food for those animals during the night. And then the light displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. Almost every hunter who's ever gone hunting knows that early morning is a good time to hunt because the animals are heading back to bed. God designed it to work this way. Men go to work and animals go to bed. And the entire earth displays the sovereign wisdom and majesty of God. Verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. The earth is filled with things that are God's. And then the sea displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. Here is the sea, verse 25, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable. The oceans are this majestic display of the sovereign greatness of God. But when we see the sea life that displays it, we see that where it teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. Leviathan refers to some huge sea creature that is intimidating. We look to God for these things. And then the good food provisions display the sovereign glory and majesty of God. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. Our food does come from God. We have plenty to eat. It's a blessing from God. And the death of any life displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. God controls life and God controls death. No one can outsmart death and outrun life, death. God says it's time to take away the spirit, a person expires and is gone. And the creation of new life displays the sovereign glory and majesty of God. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Every new life of any kind displays the glory of God. Deer, birds, horses, dogs, cats, and of course humans. After listing all these wonderful things that display God's sovereign greatness, there are five conclusions that you come to. That is, the glory of the Lord endures forever. The works of the Lord make God glad. Believers should praise God for his works as long as they live. Our meditations and thoughts about God should please God, and unbelievers will eventually be removed from God's earth. Look at that, verses 31 through 35. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice to the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.